sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand.
And today we welcome you to Messages on Demand. I'm Kenneth Unger, and we're going to be sharing a message with you today that I believe is very prevalent to the time that we're in, very pertinent, I guess I should say, to the time that we're living in today. It's a subject that's preached in some churches and yet ignored in others. But before we get into that message, let's pray. Father, I ask today as we have come to you, Father, to share this message that you've laid upon my heart, that, Father, you would speak the words to my heart that you would have me to say, and, Father, that it would reach out and touch hearts and lives wherever this message may be heard. We've asked it now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus has the disciples gathered around him, and he begins to tell them some things that are to come. In verses 1 through 2, he foretells the destruction of the temple. And then in verse 3, a question is asked. And here's what it says, verse 3 from the King James Version. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? People have asked that question for the last 2,000 years, or close to 2,000 years. What are going to be the signs? What is going to tell us when you are going to return? What is going to happen? Please let us know. And of course, there are some folks that have guessed and made predictions and set dates and all these things, and they've not taken place. They've not come to pass. But yet, each day that we live here on planet Earth, each day that turns on the calendar, we are one day closer to that event that is going to take place, which ushers in the second return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the setting up of His kingdom here on planet Earth. We don't have time to go over all of the scripture that it has in Matthew 24, and I urge you to read it on your own. Read that entire chapter, and we're going to also be giving you some other verses and some other chapters, other books, as we go on with this message. Some of the signs that he talked about of his return was iniquity. And he talks about the iniquity that is going to run rampant throughout the planet. Now, when he was speaking then, of course, most of the world as we know it today was unknown, a good portion of it. But iniquity is running wild. Things are happening that many of us never dreamed would take place. He talks about false Christs that are going to arise. Ones that will rise up and claim that they are God. And I can't tell you just in my lifetime how many people I have seen that in some way or another have claimed to be God. I guess one of the first ones I remember was when I was about 9 or 10 years old, and some person in Southern California had started a little cult, and he claimed to be God. Well, it didn't work out too well for him, because he began to take advantage of some of the members of his flock. And finally, one day, the husband of one of the women had enough, and he blew him up. And that ended his time as quote-unquote God. He then will find himself facing the one true God. False Christ. We've had false Christs since the time of Jesus. We had false Christs before the time of Jesus. There have been those who have claimed to be Christ for thousands of years. The Anointed One, the Messiah, the one that they were waiting for. And yet there's only been one Messiah. There's only been one Jesus Christ. And He was born as a babe 2,000 years ago. He died on an old rugged cross, or was crucified on an old rugged cross just a little bit less than 2,000 years ago. On the third day, He rose from the dead, and He lives forevermore, and He is the only God, the only Christ, the only Messiah. Wars and rumors of wars. We have that right now. In fact, I saw a headline just yesterday on a magazine predicting World War III as imminent. And as we read the news and we listen to the news, we realize that yes, the world is sitting on a powder keg. We have people that are in control of massive weapons of destruction who at a whim would not hesitate to push that button, to make that call that would start World War III. Wars and rumors of war, famine and pestilence. We have that still in the world today. Even with all the technology that we have and all the things that we've been blessed with in the way of knowledge, we still have famine, we still have pestilence, we still have disease. We have diseases today that no one even dreamed about just a few hundred years ago. We have diseases today people didn't dream about 50 years ago. All of these things pointing to the end of the age. Jesus goes on in verse 38 of that 24th chapter telling us that it would be as it was in the days of Noah. And many of you who are listening to me, and probably maybe a good majority of you who are listening to me, have heard the story of Noah and the ark. How that God, the Bible tells us, repented, was sorry that He'd even made man. But Noah found favor in his sight. It says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and Noah and his family were spared. God had him build an ark, and on this ark He took various of the animals, and they were spared from the global flood that took place. And the world seemingly started all over again when Noah and his family embarked from the ark on Mount Ararat. Jesus goes on in Matthew chapter 24, verse 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. The question might arise here and might be asked, exactly what is that generation? The disciples truly believed it was their generation. And there have been those generations since that time who have believed that truly theirs was that generation. But yet many of the things that the Bible says must take place had not taken place at that point. But now today, the generation that we live in, the generation that I live in, has seen the fulfillment of some of the things that God said must take place before Jesus would return. And all these things would be fulfilled. That's such an important statement that was repeated again in Mark chapter 13, verse 30, where it says, Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. And then again in Luke chapter 21, verse 31, where it says, So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. We are living, folks, in that generation. We are living in that time frame when these things are being fulfilled. I've told you many times before, actually, that when God called me into the ministry at the age of 14, that He spoke these words to my heart, I want you to be a last days preacher. And it took me up until just a few years ago to realize that what He was really talking about was that I was going to be a preacher whose generation was living in the last day, the day that our generation will see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, He's coming again. The question is, are you ready? That's the thing that we need to consider. Too many times we debate this and we debate that, and we have this theory and we have that theory, and we think one thing and then we think another, and sometimes we get in big fights over it. The important thing is, are you ready when He comes? 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 says, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. The title of this message, Antichrist Rising. We want to talk about Antichrist for a while. 1 John here, he's writing, there have been many Antichrists. But we are seeing it more so today. More of the type of what the Word of God described that are taking place. And the Bible tells us that one of the key figures in the time period that is referred to as the tribulation period, there is that one who is known as the Antichrist, or is referred to in the book of Revelation as the Beast. I want to read to you what Unger's Bible Dictionary, and that's not my dictionary. I don't want you to think that I wrote it. Unger's Bible Dictionary tells us this. The Antichrist. From early times, the opinion has prevailed that the Antichrist referred to were the forerunners of an evil rather than evil itself. Some individual would arise who, by the way of eminence, would be fitly called the Antichrist, and who, before being destroyed by Christ, would utter horrid blasphemies against the Most High, and practice great enormities upon the saints. This view is scriptural and came from connecting the passages in John's epistle with the descriptions in Daniel and the apocalypse of the great God-opposing power that would persecute the saints of the Most High, and of the Apostle Paul's man of lawlessness, which he refers to in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 10. The Antichrist, that one who is going to stand up and in part declare himself to be God. Unger's definition goes on to say, this sinister demon-inspired leader will rise to dominate the world in the end time, persecute the saints, seek to destroy the Jew, and banish the name of God and His Christ from the earth, and thus take over. This would mean the thwarting of God's plan for the messianic millennial kingdom, which involves the restoration of Israel and universal peace. However, I added to this, he is destroyed by the second advent, or the second coming of Christ, who does set up his earthly kingdom. There is that one we have been warned for 2,000 years almost, that is going to come and is going to declare himself to be God and is going to set himself up as God. We have seen those that we have mislabeled as that person. And we can go back through history, and we don't have time to go back to all of those. But in more recent times, there have been those that have been referred to as, maybe this is the Antichrist. Adolf Hitler comes to mind as being one of them. Some of our own leaders here in the United States, some people have speculated in just the last few years that they could be the Antichrist. I've even heard in some circles, some said that former President Obama could be the Antichrist. During the election period, I've heard some say Donald Trump, who is now president, could be the Antichrist. My friend, I don't think any of that lines up scripturally with what the Bible has to say about the Antichrist and where he will come from. But the world has begun to speculate on who that individual is. Who is that Antichrist? Is he alive and well on planet Earth today? And I truly believe that is the case. I believe he's of mature age. I don't believe he's a baby somewhere growing up and waiting to take over. I believe he's alive and well and could step into the spotlight at any time. And maybe already is starting to. In May of 2013, we had a five-part series on the book of Daniel that was presented by Drew Allen, and those messages are here on our Messages on Demand. If you want to look them up, just search for Drew Allen. And Drew and I had a number of discussions. Generally, we would sit down before the study on Wednesday night and talk about the things that he was going to be teaching and what our thoughts were on them. And part of it had to do is where we believed the Antichrist would come from, where he would arise from. And I know that this topic has been a debate for many years. First of all, my friends, I don't believe the Antichrist is coming from the United States. I don't believe the Antichrist is coming from some Scandinavian country. I don't believe he's coming from some South American country. I don't believe he's coming from somewhere in Asia. I believe he's coming from what the area that the Bible is talking about when we read these scriptures that were written at the time of the early church as to where the Antichrist will come from. In our debates here, Drew believed that the Antichrist would come from Syria, and with good reason to believe that. And I believed that the Antichrist would come from Turkey in our debates that we had. And I do want to point out that some of our modern day boundaries do not align with those boundaries that were in place at the time the Bible was written. I began preparing this message essentially a month ago from the date that this message is being recorded. And God had me put it on pause to see how some things turn out, which we're going to get into in just a few moments, because there were events that were taking place that we were going to know the outcome of in just a few weeks. And as I begin to think about Turkey here, let's talk about Turkey a moment. It's a nation straddling Eastern Europe and Western Asia. It has cultural connections with ancient Greek, Persian, Roman, Byzantine, and Ottoman empires. Cosmopolitan Istanbul on the Bosphorus Strait is home to the iconic Hagia Sophia with its soaring dome and Christian mosaics, and the massive 17th century Blue Mosque in the circa 1460 Topkapi Palace, former home of the sultans. And if you want to look back in history under the Ottoman Empire and the various people who were rulers of the Ottoman Empire, the caliphs, those people who ruled the Muslim world, the Islamic world, up until the early 1900s, we find that they were headquartered here in Turkey. And the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, which are often mentioned in the Bible, have their beginnings in Turkey and flow through Iraq. Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat, and after leaving Ur, Abraham and his family lived for a while in Haran. Now, many other ancient peoples who were mentioned in the Bible were entirely or partly in Turkey. For example, the Hittite kingdom was in Turkey in Genesis chapter 11:31, and Genesis 10 15 and Genesis 15, 19 through 21. And Hittite history is divided into two basic periods, and we don't really have time to go into that. The Assyrians, for example, frequently mentioned in the Bible, have and since have vanished from the face of the earth, but they lived in the same region. And of course, we have the group there today that are called the Kurds, and they live in an area called Kurdistan, which covers about the same area as ancient Assyria. It's partly in Iraq and partly in Syria, but most of them live in Turkey. As I was researching this message with the subject Antichrist Rising, I began to look up what some other people had to say. And from a website, which I can't even pronounce the name of, but they had some thoughts about it. One of the thoughts was that from Ezekiel 38 confirmed Turkey's leadership role. They said Revelation chapter 17 confirmed Turkey's role. Daniel 9 confirms Turkey's role. Daniel 11 confirms Turkey's role. And it goes on, various scriptures that is brought up in this article that confirmed Turkey's role. But here's one of the things that I want to point out to you here, is the throne of Satan is in Turkey. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus is speaking to the seven historical churches that are all situated along the west coast of Asia Minor, or in modern-day Turkey. And here's what is written in Revelation chapter 2. To the angel of the church in Pergamum, write, these are the words of him who has the sharp double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. And that's Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Now, to many, this may be a strange question, but was there an actual literal geographic location where Satan had a throne? And in certain sense, yes. And we could go on and we could read, and those of you that have computer access, you can look this up about Satan's throne in Turkey. But a lot of demonic worship went on in that particular area of the world. And Satan's throne. I want you to think about that a minute. Where more would we think that maybe Satan would send forth his emissary known as the Antichrist, other than from the area where his throne, according to God's word, is located? I want you to think about that a moment. I also want to go back and bring up another thing, and this is from time.com, about the caliph. And just what is a caliph? And it's most basic, the caliph is how Muslims organized themselves for centuries after the death of the Prophet Muhammad. In life, Muhammad led the faith that Muslims believe he channeled directly from God, serving as both religious leader and temporal ruler of the legions drawn to his teaching. But when the Prophet died in 632 AD, he left no heir, and the search was on for a successor, which is what caliph means. The caliphate, or succession, is what he rules, the governing body that claims dominion over all believers. Well, skipping ahead to the early 1900s, the Ottoman Empire, which was ruled by the caliph, collapsed in World War I. And its remaining land was divided up into the form that is preferred by the European victors into nation states. And as decades passed, the West, largely forgot that there ever was a caliph, but the Muslims did not. Now, today, let's bring it up to today. Where are we at right now? Just recently, there was an election that took place in the country of Turkey. The current president of Turkey, a man by the name of Erdogan, wanted, at the time I was researching this message, back in the 1st of April, he wanted to become the absolute power of Turkey. And there was a referendum and Turkey that would give him the ability to stay in office until 2029. And it went on to tell us in this article that I was reading that after popular support had failed, a failed coup had failed to oust him. Here's what one person said. He's sincere toward the people, she said. What he says is true. He does not lie. And what the people want is what happens. Opponents say that the changes which would allow Erdogan to rule until 2029 and consolidate power in his office would lead to one-man rule with little oversight by a friendly parliament and a judiciary that would be appointed by him and the ruling party. Well, just a few weeks later, the vote took place. Reading from an article published on April 20th, 2017, by Walid Shubat on his website, it says, while Turkey decided to resurrect its Ottoman hegemony on Resurrection Sunday, which was Easter Sunday, by giving Erdogan unlimited powers, Erdogan's main mouthpiece, Yeni Shavak, now declared that all must literally obey Erdogan as God, the Holy Spirit, and as Caliph. And while protests erupted from the opposition, rejecting the referendum, and it goes on to talk about that President Trump called to congratulate him on his election, which is standard procedure, the Kremlin did so as well. Walid Shabbat goes on to say, when decades ago we said that Turkey will produce a man who will be hailed as God and that the U.S. will initially support him, many scoffed. And if you want to look up Walid Shabbat, you can find that article also on the internet at shabbat.com. In an Antichrist rising, are we seeing the rise of the one who will be known as the Antichrist, or as the book of Revelation refers to, the beast? I want you to think about it. The dominoes have fallen into place. It's coming down to the wire, folks. There are those who scoff and say those who talk about the last days don't know what they're talking about. Someone posted on a local Facebook page in the area where I live, searching for a church that preaches about the end times. And people went on and said, well, go to this church, go to that church. And yet, knowing the churches in the area, I did not see one that particularly stands out to me that preaches about the last times and about what's going to happen in the last days. Folks, we need to wake up. The last days aren't something in the future. They are here. And of course, I know there are those who will tell you, well, you got to get prepared for it. You got to stock up. You got to buy this. You got to buy that. Baloney, folks. Yes, it doesn't hurt to be prepared for emergencies, but no matter what we do as Christians, there is no way that you can be prepared for the events that are going to transpire, because it is going to be a literal hell on earth. But my friend, I will state to you now, as I've stated to you before, I am a pre-trib believer. I believe that Jesus is coming to take his children home. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ, I believe the trumpet's going to sound. It's going to happen. It's going to take place. And the Bible says the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then those who are alive and remain will rise to meet him in the air. And we shall be changed. It's going to happen, folks. And it could happen before this broadcast is even aired. And some of you, this may be your last chance to hear a message like this. I want to tell you this. One of the most important things that you will ever do, in fact, the most important thing you will ever do, is accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if by some way, somehow, you happen to tune in to this message and listen to it, and you got to the point where we're at right now, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I invite you, I implore you, ask Jesus into your heart. Ask Him into your life. You do not want to go through what is going to take place. And even if none of these events were going to take place, you don't want to die and end up in a place that's going to be even worse than what that's going to be. Oh, folks, Jesus is coming. Oh, I don't know the day. I don't know the hour. I don't know the year. But I know it's soon. And it may be sooner than even I think. He's coming. If you don't know Him, would you ask Him into your heart and ask Him into your life today? It's just so simple. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new creature in You. I want to go to be with You for all eternity. Just a simple prayer like that. And it doesn't have to be those exact words. Jesus knows the heart. And He'll do it. Won't you ask Him in today?
You have been listening to Messages on Demand. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. You may contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us. Again, that's pastor@tlhf.us. Or by clicking on the Contact Us button on the homepage of our website, www.tlhf.us. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production, a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship.